And that sets him apart from a lot of others who do proclaim God's word. But they have understanding without transformation. So when he called me on rather short notice, I told him I'd get back to him after I take a walk. And when I was in my walk, the Lord did give me a word. And I didn't understand it at first. And therefore I had to delve into that word. And that word was scribe. And I'm like, Lord, you had issues with them. So why would you give me the word? That's almost like a curse word in the kingdom, the scribe. Because Jesus was always fighting with the scribes. And then as he took me further, I understood what he wanted me to talk about. And it's called a kingdom scribe. And before we came out, he told me he'd send me home if I didn't have a scripture. And so the scripture comes from Matthew 13. You don't have to look it up. I'm going to read it. Verses 51 through 52. And this is a conversation between Jesus and the disciples. And at this part of the conversation, Jesus says to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said unto him, "Yea." And he said unto them, "Therefore, every scribe who hath been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." I have to take you on the journey before we can get to the celebration. Because you have to be able to celebrate with understanding in response to the word. It's very interesting that God, through Jesus, has something positive here to say about a scribe. And who were the scribes at this period of time? They were the theologians. They were the interpreters of Torah, meaning the law. And they had a very important place in the Jewish tradition at that time. In fact, the scribe was more highly esteemed than the high priest. And the reason for that is because of the transition in the worship of Israel that took place after the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Temple worship was focused on the high priest as the mediator between Hashem, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, Elyon, Adonai, El Shaddai, and the people. And what he mediated was the sacrifice Because he took the blood into the Holy of Holies. But after the destruction of the first temple and after Israel was taken into exile in Babylon, and there they remained for 70 years, there was a disconnect in the worship. Because what the Babylonians did was that they took all the priests and emasculated them. So that they could not reproduce. So over time, the royal priesthood that God had established disappeared. So that when they came out of Babylon, they came back to Jerusalem without a high priest. And what happened was that they began to think about what led them to Babylon in the first place. And what they realized was it was not because of the sacrifices that they were not offering. It was because they had not obeyed the instruction of God. So in their wisdom, they said, because we did not obey God's word and we focused too much on the sacrifices, we are going to learn God's law so that we don't repeat the mistake that we made. Are y'all with me? So what happened is that the scribe came on the scene, and the first scribe was Ezra. And what Ezra did was is that he found a scroll and he opened it up and he read it. But in his reading, he interpreted and provided a new way for the Israelites who did not have a true high priest to worship God. And so what happened over the course of time was is that the scribe then became the mediator between the people and God as manifested in Torah. So when Jesus came, the first person Jesus went to see before his public ministry was the scribes. Ask me, why did Jesus go see the scribes first? Because he knew that he was to become the mediator. And so he had to enter into some kind of discourse with the existing system of mediation. And it was from that time, after that conversation, that the scribes began to say everything that they said about Jesus. Because they realized that he was a threat to what they were doing. It was a matter of self-preservation and not a matter of God. Oh, and the back and forth between Jesus and the scribes got ugly. They called him a devil worshiper. And he called them hypocrites. They came and asked him questions like most lawyers to set a trap. And when he didn't step into the trap, he then said unto them, you're going to hell. But you see, something happened in the relationship between Jesus and the scribes. Because you know, if you've been in bitter dialogue with somebody, you begin to develop hatred. And in that hatred, you can never get to a place to say something positive about the person that you've been engaged in this struggle with. Because if you do, you feel like you're giving them an area of weakness that they can come back at you and do something else. But something happened in this dialogue between Jesus and the scribes. And what it was is that one scribe came and observed Jesus having a discussion with the Sadducees. And the discussion that Jesus was having with the Sadducees had to do with the resurrection of the human body. You see, the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. But because Jesus is the resurrection, he had to have that conversation with the Sadducees. Because if Jesus does not get up, we got no faith. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry and what? Die. So the scribe sees this conversation going on between Jesus and the Sadducees. And he comes to Jesus. And by the way, this is over in Mark. I'm still in the scriptures. This is over in Mark. And he says to Jesus, "Master, I want you to tell me, what is the number one commandment?" Now you see, this represents all the laws in the Old Testament, 680. And he wants to know from Jesus which of those 680 laws is the greatest. Now, you got to understand something. From a scribe's point of view, each law is equal. You have to obey each and every one of those laws. And there's no distinction upon which is greater or which is smaller. They are all to be obeyed. No ifs, ands, or buts. So Jesus, being the First Testament scholar that he is, says to this scribe, "For the Lord God is one. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And Jesus, being deep, moves from Deuteronomy 6 to Leviticus 21 and says, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Hey. Now the scribe was not intimidated by Jesus' exegesis. In fact, he got bold and corrected Jesus. Yes, he did. He says to Jesus, basically, you have interpreted the scripture correctly. And says to him, yes, God is one God. But here's the subtext. You said four things. To love God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The scribe says to Jesus, you are to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your understanding. And all your strength. And then he goes even further and says, yes, we are supposed to love our neighbor more than ourselves. And then he gives Jesus a revelation. Because all the sacrifices is not worth anything if you have not loved both God and man. Are you with me? And watch what Jesus did. Jesus had to back up. And he said to this scribe, you made it halfway to the kingdom of heaven. What? He just gave you a revelation. And you tell him he made it halfway. Why did Jesus tell this scribe you made it halfway? Because the scribe gave a proper interpretation of the scripture. But he didn't really believe it in his heart. You see, you've got a lot of scribes running around in the body of Christ who are rendering interpretations of the word of God. But in their heart, they don't believe it. And because they only have an understanding, which they cannot put into action, you see that all they can do is pontificate, but there is no transformation. So you have to be careful about listening to certain scribes. Because they will sound very good. They will be able to quote some other great preacher. They'll be able to quote this scripture and that scripture. But at the end of the day, when are they through speaking, can they come back in 2 weeks and see a transformation? Spirit. So that when he gets to Matthew, after speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, have you understood these things? But before I can explicate what I really want to talk to you about, I got to tell you what it is that Jesus was asking them if they understood. Jesus had just dropped some heavy eschatological theology. On the disciples. And he did it through something called a parable, which was supposed to take a certain situation that they could readily understand because it was related to the culture that they were living in, that when they heard it, they could be able to relate to it. But we know the disciples had problems. Understanding the true meaning of what Jesus was talking about. And the reason why I use the word eschatological theology was because what Jesus was talking about had to do with what was yet to come. He was talking about end time. He was talking about him coming back and what was going to happen when he came back. And he talks about the kingdom of heaven. And as we all know, the disciples had a problem with the kingdom of heaven because they wanted the kingdom here. And he tells them, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And what does he do? What's the first parable there? About the seed and the sowing. Right? Everybody knows that one. But do you know the next two that come after it? Hello? He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a merchant seeking goodly pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now you see, some scribes would come in and interpret that from your perspective to mean that you can buy your way in by paying your tithes. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Because he's talking about how God views finding one person that believes in who he is. And when God finds that one person, God is ready to give up everything. So now you got to understand how much you're really worth if God is prepared again. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. But guess what? You know something? I've never heard that parable preached ever in my life. And I've heard some good preaching in my life. But the reason why I've never heard this parable preached is because it has to do with the separation of the righteous from the unrighteous. Because you have a lot of scribes who are casting nets and taking in great numbers of numbers, but it's not separating. But then, after Jesus says to them, do you get what I'm saying? And they all said, yay, Lord! Yay, Lord! And then you know what Jesus does? He transforms the disciples. Are you ready for this? Into scribes. How do I know this? Because he says, every scribe who hath been made a disciple to what? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Amen. Y'all ready for the interpretation? Yes. See, when you just believe in God, you're just a scribe. But when you move from believing to living, you then become a disciple of what? Of the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus was saying to the disciples, I know you really are interested in me restoring the kingdom in Jerusalem. But I'm here to tell you that if you become the disciples that you confess that you are, if you begin to take those principles which I've instructed you in and begin to put it into action, then you will be a scribe of the kingdom of heaven. And what makes you a scribe, he says, of the kingdom of heaven is like a man who owns a house. That means you got to own something. You want me to say that again? That means you have to own something, because he's comparing you to a man who owns what? A house. And if you are a man who owns a house, that means you have a safe somewhere in that house where you keep your treasure. And what he's saying is that when you make the transformation from being a disciple to being a scribe of the kingdom of heaven, you can pull out not only the old stuff that you put in there, but you can pull out some new stuff. You see, I tried to find an interpretation of this scripture. I looked up everybody. And everybody didn't have a lot to say about these two verses. And so I had to ask God, how come the scribes of this era, the theologians of this era, don't have much to say about that? Because it's a threat to their hold on the theology that they are proclaiming. I said, what do you mean? He says that if you can get a real Jew to come into understanding about how Jesus is the true mediator, he will be able to share with you wisdom of the First Testament in the light of the revelation of Jesus. And that revelation of Jesus, based upon what his old stuff is, will become new stuff for who? Do you understand? So what am I saying? On this occasion, you have a gift. You have a kingdom scribe who was trained at one of the top five legal institutions in America. Oh, yeah. I was just top 10, but he was top five. But we are trained to interpret and to extrapolate principles from what? The law. But because he has an understanding of the kingdom of heaven, and because he's not just a disciple in that he believes, but that he puts what he believes into action, he is able to give you both old and new treasure. Now, he said earlier, he believes I'm a prophet. Now, as a scribe, I picked up on that. He says that in his heart, he believes I'm a prophet. But I'm going to give him an understanding today. So that the next time he will say, I understand he's a prophet. You see, since I've started proclaiming the word of the Lord here, there's been a transformation. And the transformation has occurred with very little. But I'm here to declare something old and make it new. The old says that there was a king who decreed to all the treasurers in the land. And he said, whatever Ezra asked for, give it to him. Hey, Babu Shatarba. I'm ready to preach now. Amen. Because you are sitting at the feet of a kingdom scribe, whatever he asks of this worldly system, it has to give it to him. I don't think y'all caught that. Whatever. Whatever. I didn't say whatever he asked of God. Whatever he asked of the worldly powers. They, under that worldly power, meaning the U.S. Treasury has to open up now. I said to him, well, you're going to get an understanding I'm a prophet today. If I can be a prophet of the God Most High, I decree and declare that whatever this kingdom scribe asks for, the powers of this world must give it to him. Now that's the old. Here's the new. Whatever this kingdom scribe demands of God. Yeah, I said it, demand. I didn't say ask. Because when you are a friend of God, you don't have to ask. Only a slave of God has to ask. But I read in the word that Jesus said, I call you no longer slave, but friend. And in that transition, he's telling you that the discourse has now changed between you and I. A slave does not know the purpose of his master. A friend. See? A slave has to ask its master to do anything. But a friend can tell another friend, this is what I'm going to do. And the friend has to say back, I've got your back. So, the new. Whatever he demands out of the kingdom of heaven, it must be done here in earth. Now, I'm glad you all are dressed in black. And I'm glad that there are many different witnesses here today. Madam, as a prophet, I have a right to anoint. And I am going to anoint the man of God of this house as a bishop. And as a bishop, it just means he's an elder. But he has charge over the doctrines that are taught in this house. But here's the prophet in me. This house has many mansions in it. You got that? And if it was not so, I wouldn't tell you. And what that means is that out of this ministry, other worship centers are going to be birthed. Because you cannot be an elder and just have one house. That's the function of a pastor. Oh, it's quiet up in here. Because you're going to understand today, I'm more than just a scribe of the kingdom of heaven. But you need to understand something. That when this oil is poured on his head, it must flow down his garments to you. And this is the charge that God has given you today. That you have to move from just being a believer in whatever he teaches into acting on what he teaches. I believe there was a sermon that I preached here called "And." And in that sermon, I spoke about how you are a reflection of him. And he is a reflection of you. When this oil is poured, he kanda basheketo labasha. You are going to move into a new dimension and experience of what the kingdom of heaven is about. You are going to begin to cast some nets and begin to bring in both the righteous and the unrighteous. But you're not going to be quick to throw the unrighteous back. Because of the spirit of the loving God that is in you. That transformed you from your dirt. That same spirit is going to transform what you bring in your net. You see, this book is monumental to the kingdom of heaven. And you have to be prepared for the doors he's going to begin to walk through. And when he goes through those doors, he's not going through it by himself. Every one of you go through with him. Because our God is one God. And that means that he carries you with him wherever he goes. Some of you may physically walk through the same door. Others of you are going to spiritually walk through that door and see a different kind of manifestation wherever you are. Amen? But I bind up the spirit of jealousy right now. I bind up the spirit of envy in the name of Jesus. I bind up the spirit that would want to touch what God has said you don't have the right to touch. And I bind up the spirit that want to say he's abandoned us. He I bind up that spirit of impatience that was exhibited at Mount Sinai when the Jews said, "Where is Moses?" While Moses was up mediating. Between God and them. There is responsibility in this house now. The time of proclaiming one thing and doing another is over. The time of saying, "But I believe in my heart," and there's no manifestation of what you believe, is over. The season of hiding the deceptions of your heart is over. This is a time of oneness. This is a time for the fulfillment of Jesus' last prayer. "Father, let them be one as you and I are one." And then the next part of that prayer was, "And I pray, Father, that as I am one with you, that they will be one with you." I am declaring now that people different from you are going to begin to come in here. They're not going to look like you. They're not going to talk like you. They're not even going to eat the kind of food that you're used to eating. And they are not going to have the level of understanding that you have. But you must nonetheless receive them. And I'm telling you right now, anybody who does not receive who comes through that door will hear the following words: "As you have not received them, I have not received you." For the least of these you see, I'm in a different dimension myself. I'm going to Africa for 4 weeks in March. I'm going to Zimbabwe. And the word that God has given me to speak in Zimbabwe, I may not make it out. Of Zimbabwe. They may meet me at the border. But I have to go. And then I have to go to Nigeria. But I'm not hanging out in the south. I have to go to the north and tell the heathen that my God lives. And you serve a profane God. I'm at a different place. And so I know that where I am now, a lot of strange things are going to begin to happen. But you have to embrace the strange if you really want to see a miracle in your life. Jeff, come here, Jeff. Come here, Jeff. See, this is my homeboy from the courthouse. And this is the first time that he has seen me under the anointing. He's used to Michael, the courthouse lawyer. But Jeff, what I'm about to tell you, don't try to figure it out. Every person that has entered into relationship with this man has prospered. In fact, there was a girl that I was dating in the courthouse, was hanging out with him for a while. She's a judge now. Everybody, right, Victor? Who's entered into fellowship with this man at that courthouse has prospered. And Jeff, right now, in the name of Jesus, because you have entered into fellowship with this man, you must prosper. But I want you to understand the kind of prosperity I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about shalom. I'm speaking about peace in every area of your life. I speak peace to every relationship that you have entered into. I bind chaos and bring it into order right now in the name of Jesus. And I bind every tongue, Jeff, that has looked upon you as just some kind of lawyer in the courthouse. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I break every negative word that has been spoken about you as a man. I break every word that has been spoken about you as a man of your household. I break every word that has been spoken about you as a man that God has placed in that courthouse. And I come against every power and principality that has viewed you as something less than what you are. In the name of Jesus. Now, Jeff, I'm not putting you on full blast, but I'm telling you this. God only honors one thing. And that's his word. God only swears an oath by his word. And the word for you, Jeff, those that be planted, come on, help me now, in the courts of our God, what does it come after that? They shall what? Prosper. They shall flourish as the trees of Lebanon. Let me tell you what that means, Jeff. You have been physically separated from him. But you have an opportunity to establish that relationship just on a different plateau. And if you plant yourself here, and enter into a different level of communion. You will flourish like the trees of Lebanon. And you know what a tree of Lebanon is? It's a cedar. And it has deep roots. And guess what? It doesn't have branches growing out of the side of the trunk. It just has branches growing. And the reason for that is only the top can get the nourishment of the sun. So if you plant yourself here, and I'm not saying how long, just plant yourself here. You will have a level of depth that is already in you, but will begin to be manifested in order to bring life. To others. And I'm telling you, if I'd be a prophet of God, that everything that weighs down on your shoulders now, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to stand here beside me as I anoint him as a bishop. Because that is your place in the house. Because you're a scribe of the kingdom of heaven as well. You ready? Come. And I ask everybody to stand. You can remain seated if you need to. This is not yellow olive oil. Yellow is old. But this is green. Because it's fresh. And Psalm 92 says, but you shall exalt my horn. The horn is a symbol of power, of vigor, of energy. And the psalmist goes on to say, and it shall be as fresh oil. Man of God, before this great company of hosts, if I be a prophet of the Lord God Most High, I hereby anoint you bishop. Not of just this house, but of many houses. And you can go forth and exercise that gift. Because I hear the Lord saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. He trusted you with this house. And because of the excellent work, because of your diligence, because of your faithfulness, in spite of, he can trust you with the office of elder.
bishop.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shandarabatu suderekesan.
Understand that what has just occurred is a miracle. You need to understand that what has just happened is not by man. You need to believe and act on what you have just seen. God has honored this house by not giving you a pastor anymore. He has given you an elder that has authority over pastors. You need to understand, by placing a bishop in this house, some of you have been called to be pastors. But you are here to be prepared to become and be a pastor with the same kind of heart, with the same kind of integrity, with the same kind of diligence that he has displayed. But more importantly, to be the kind of shepherd that's not ashamed to walk behind the sheep. You know what it means to walk behind sheep? It means that you're walking in their mess. As the sheep go back to the fold, they're doing their business. And the shepherd walks behind them and walks in it. That's what you have had. But guess what? No more. No more mess. Because God has declared divine healing for everybody under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. You shall no longer live in your past. You shall no longer hear the echoes of your past in the name of Jesus. Be prepared. You accepted him as your bishop. You've accepted him as your elder. Be ready to hear a different kind of voice, which is different from a voice of a pastor. He's now going to give direction. He's going to exercise authority. He's going to give commands because you're ready to do it now. He's going to teach you in new levels of instruction that you cannot just hear with the ear anymore, because the instruction is different. The instruction that he's going to give you is going to transform this community. The instruction that he's going to be giving you has nothing to do with salvation principles anymore. The instruction that he's giving you has nothing to do about how you're supposed to be living, because I declare the Holy Ghost shall now be your comforter, be your teacher, and show you where you need to correct yourself. You need to show a level of maturity in Christ now. Where you can go before God yourself and say, I have sinned, forgive me. Which means you recognize what it is you did and it was not right before God. So that when he stands here in this pulpit, he can begin to reveal to you revelations about the kingdom of heaven. So that you can move from being the sons and daughters of man into being the sons and daughters of God. And there's a difference. I may not be back here. I don't know what God has for me in South Africa. But I charge you this day. There's going to be a new level of personal accountability in how you treat each other. In how you speak to one another. You're not going to speak to people here and then don't call them during the week to see how they are. And if you see somebody in need in this body and you have the ability to supply that need, you will not close up your bowels of mercy, but you will see to the needs of your brothers and sisters here. And it's because of the level, the new level of love that you're going to demonstrate for each other, that's going to make you a beacon of light in this community and draw them in. And this is not a numbers game. This is not about trying to increase the budget or anything else. This is about doing God's work. These are the end times. Mother killing daughter. Father killing son. These are what the Apostle Paul said are perilous times. And I declare to you, he's coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So, baby, if you got some spots, go find the bleach of the word. Amen. Honey, if you got some wrinkles, go get the weight of the glory of God and press it out. Thus says the Lord.
Amen. 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 The word of God is very clear that there are benefits to being part of his kingdom. Amen. And those benefits come with first being birthed into the kingdom of God. And you are birthed into the kingdom of God by calling on the name of Jesus, by becoming part of the family of God. It is our true intent here at Living Grace to be a family where people can come no matter who they are, no matter what they've been through, and we receive you as you are, love you as you are, build you up to be who God has called you to be through the grace of God. Amen. And so I'm going to lead you in an offer of salvation, not just to become a member of Living Grace right now, but to become a member of the kingdom of God, to join in into a community where we are seeking after the things of God, seeking after the love of God to display to each other and those outside of the doors. Amen. And so I would just like you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I repent for all my sins. And I receive your robe of righteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I submit to the will of God. It is just that simple. If you said that for the very first time, if you've never told Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never told him that you would submit your life to him and him alone, I'd just like you to raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Okay. If you have committed your life to Christ, but you have strayed and you've been away from him, we'd like to just have you come down if you like to and just resubmit yourself to him, resubmit your heart to him, resubmit to being part of the community of God. Amen. And finally, if you would like to be a member of this church, you know who Christ is, you serve him, but you want to be planted here in this church, we're asking you to come down. Those three things. If you like to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you like to recommit yourself, or if you would like to be a member of this church, please come down so we can just greet you, pray with you, and just believe God with you. Amen. 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 All right, so we are all family. Amen. Whether you're here or not, belong here or not, we know you're family. Amen. We'll now have communion.
Praise the Lord.